الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue reading in the third chapter. The author, he mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى القلوب آنية. القلوب آنية, that the hearts, they are vessels. Some hearts, they are filled with goodness and sincere faith, and they move based upon that. And others, they are filled with evil and deviation, misguidance, and they move based upon that. And other hearts, they are mixed with the two, and whichever one overcomes, then the person who will move accordingly, then the person who will move accordingly. The author in this particular chapter, Hafidhullah, he mentioned some benefits from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala about signs, about apparent signs that indicate the soundness of the heart, that indicate the soundness of the heart, and that it's well and alive, and that it is well and alive. And he mentioned six affairs. The first one, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, that a person who remember Allah often in every circumstance and situation, he will do that with his heart and with his tongue, and that will carry him to comply to the commandments and avoid the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner pleasing. And he'll be very fond of the mention of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his remembrance. And he'll find joy and happiness in that. And we have seen a number of benefits with regards to the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Walillahi alhamd. And the second sign is that the person with the sound heart, he will have some non-obligatory actions of worship that he'll perform daily, that he'll become accustomed to, from the likes of the night prayer, or a portion of the Qur'an that he reads, or adhkar that he's making, or the rawatib and the likes like this, actions of non-obligatory worship that he's accustomed to. And if something happened in a particular day, he became preoccupied and missed out on performing those non-obligatory actions that he's accustomed to, this will hurt him. This will hurt him and bother him. This will hurt him and bother him. And he will be disturbed by that. And he'll find heartache. And it will worry him and the likes like this. It will not go by like it's nothing. Because these affairs, they're dear to him. These affairs, they are dear to him. So therefore, it will bother him. And it will disturb him. And he will strive to rectify that affair. And he will work to never slip in that manner again. And he will strive to uphold those rights as he had previously, and seek the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this one here is very important, that he has first and foremost these rights that he's following, and these actions of worship that are non-obligatory that he is engaged in on a daily basis. And then whenever he misses it because of how dear it is to his heart and how beloved, it hurts him and he finds heartache. So if that's the case for this individual with a sound heart, missing out on some of the non-obligatory actions, how about if he were to miss out or fall into something that is forbidden? Something that is forbidden. No doubt it would worry him, and no doubt it would be heavy on his heart. And no doubt it would be heavy on his heart, even more severe. So this issue here goes back to the ta'zim. Ta'zim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, magnifying and glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal and revering him in the manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the sign of true ta'zim and majesty and glorifying and revering Allah Azza wa Jal is that a person, he will have ta'zim of the awamir wa nawahi, of the commandments and the prohibitions and the sacred rites and the legislation. And whenever these affairs, they are violated, it will disturb him and bother him, and he will not be satisfied with that or happy, especially whenever it comes from himself, or if he slips and comes out of composure or character. It's something that will weigh heavy on his heart, and he'll continue daily to seek forgiveness. Or if he had taken the right of another and the likes like this, it's something that's not normal for him. Whenever these affairs, they occur for him, whenever he slips away from that which he's accustomed to, from the good path and the good way and the noble manners and the upright conduct and the establishing the deen inwardly and outwardly, it will disturb him. It will bother him. It's a sign that he has sincere faith. I remember now a narration that some of the companions, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're mentioning that sometimes it will cross their mind, things that they would rather die than to speak about. Things that they would rather die to, than to speak about or to do. Any things, bad ideas would come to their mind. Bad ideas maybe in creed or even in action and deed. That is something that's disturbing and it's detestful. Thoughts of disbelief or thoughts of disobedience and rebellion against the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَجَدْتُمُوهَا أَوَجَدْتُمُوهَا. Did you find that? Did you find that? Is this what you're saying? Is this something that you're finding now? This is crossing your mind sometimes and it's bothering you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَاكَ سَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ ذَاكَ سَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. This is direct and sincere faith. This is direct and sincere faith. I mean, the fact that the shaitan, he will come and the soul will tempt, and then a person, he will think of those thoughts whenever they come and despise them and detest them. And seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a sign that he's a true believer and that he has sincere faith. So a believer is someone, whenever he does good, he's happy and he's thankful and he praises Allah Azza wa Jal. And whenever he does bad, he feels bad. And whenever he does bad, whenever he commits sin, it bothers him. And it is heavy on his heart. And whenever he makes a mistake, it will carry him. It will carry him to continue to seek repentance time after time, day after day, night after night, even performing more good deeds, hoping to expiate that sin. Hoping to expiate that sin. Some of the people of Nar, as they mentioned, رُبَّ سَيِّئَةٍ تُدْخِيرُ صَحِبَهَا الْجَنَّةِ, that maybe a bad deed will enter a person into paradise. A bad deed will enter a person into paradise, meaning he will fall into sin, and then that will bother his heart so much that every time he remembers it, he will be shy from Allah. And he will have remorse in his heart, and it will burden him and bother him, and he will seek forgiveness over and over. And whenever it crosses his mind again, he will strive to do more good deeds. Strive to do more good deeds, yani from the non-obligatory actions, giving charity, so on and so forth, hoping that it will be expiation for that. Every time he's reminded about it, something maybe he did previously in his past, maybe recently or even years ago possibly, whenever he's reminded of that and it comes to his heart, it sets heavy. And he's shy and ashamed. He's shy and ashamed, and he repent time after time. And this will carry him to do good deeds and to avoid falling into the likes of that action. And in this manner, he went to paradise by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to have, to feel bad, missing out on the good that a person is accustomed to, this is from the signs of a sound heart. The third one that the author, he mentioned and we spoke about in our previous class, is that a person, he will be tight with his time. He will not be wasting his time, and he will not let others waste his time. Rather, he will take advantage of his time, and he'll be wise in doing that. And a person, no doubt, he's not always able to be striving hard and with great energy, and he's very energetic and standing and performing actions of worship all of the time. Rather, النفس لها إقبار وإدبار. النفس لها إقبار وإدبار. The soul sometimes is light and sometimes it's heavy, and sometimes it's light and sometimes it's encouraged, and it's advancing on the hereafter and striving to do the good deeds. And other times a person, he becomes tired and his soul becomes heavy. And the soul becomes heavy, and it's difficult for him even to maybe establish the obligations in certain circumstances. So a person, he has to learn his soul, and he has to learn himself, and then he has to take advantage of his time. So he will use it wisely. He'll use it wisely. Whenever he finds that his soul is light and it's ready to work and strive, he'll take advantage of that in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And whenever he finds that he's weak, likewise, he will still take advantage of that, and he will not carry himself to more than it can burden, and he will just continue upon that which is beneficial and easy for him, and on a path that on that which is beneficial and easy for them. An example I remember now for students of knowledge. Sometimes reading the books and doing research is very heavy. It's very heavy. Depending on the topics and the details related in those topics, sometimes seeking knowledge and researching becomes very heavy. So a person is not able to constantly be engaged in these affairs that have great details and different aspects and different categories and difference of opinion and so on and so forth. Different evidences from the book and the sunnah and different positions from the imams of the ummah and the likes of this. These things get heavy sometimes. And the soul is not able to bear it. So the people of knowledge, they advise that a student, he has to balance his affair. So he will not seek the knowledge, for example, of fiqh all of the time. Rather, along with that, he will also seek the knowledge of the heart softeners and the affairs that will rectify and cleanse the soul and cleanse the soul, and he will gather between that. For example, they will advise that a person who will be engaged in memorizing Bulugh al-Maram, which is a book of a hadith al-Ahkam, it's all about rulings. It's all about rulings. But along with that, they advise to memorize as well and to learn and study Riyad al-Salihin, which is all about the good deeds and encouragement to do the good deeds, and about heart softeners, and likewise the warning and prohibition of doing bad deeds, so on and so forth, to gather between the two, so that a person, he's reminded, and that his soul is observed in this affair, and it's not taken too far in one aspect. And likewise, for example, at nighttime, a person, he's tired, he's not able to continue delving and researching, then he will read something like the biographies of the Salaf. He'll read in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the biographies of the Salaf, which is much lighter. Or he'll read something from a dictionary and the likes like this, just going over words. Or he'll review some things that he had studied before. That's not heavy for him. In this manner, he'll continue to take advantage of his time in that which is beneficial and not wasting it. So the point is that sign of the sound heart is that a person, he's concerned with his time, and he's diligent with his time, and he's taking care of his time and striving to benefit in that, seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. There was a great point mentioned here that is a great reminder. There was a point mentioned here that is a great reminder and admonition, and that is that the sign that Allah detests the person, alamatu maqt al-abdi, is that he wastes the time. The sign that Allah detests a slave or is angry with a slave is that He will cause him to waste time. So if we're ever in that situation, and we're tried, no doubt, with wasting our time, we remember the likes of this. This is not a good sign. So this will be a means to carry a person to leave that and stop wasting time and start benefiting from the time. And then we had taken the fourth. The fourth sign, likewise, of the sound heart, and that is a person, he will make his aim and his goals one, and he will be sincere. The one that he's worshiping is Allah alone. He will sing Allah alone for all actions of worship, and that will be his matlub. And Allah, he will be his matlub. But likewise, his intention and his aim and his goals in life will be one as well. And the talab and his irada, his desires, will be one, and that is to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not the pleasure of the soul or the desires, rather the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he will have ikhlas, and then also he will have nasiha wa sidq, and the ikhlas. So he'll make the one whom he's worshipping one, and he'll make his intention one. And he will not be diverted and distracted. And also he must make the path that he's traversing upon one. The path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. All of this is from the sign of a sound heart. The fifth sign that he mentioned, hafidhuhullah, is that a person from the signs of the sound heart is that he's occupied with correcting his intention and correcting his statements and actions. He's worried about these affairs, checking himself and taking himself to account about his intentions and the actions and statements that he's involved in, and he's striving to purify them and make them sincerely for the sake of Allah. So he mentions the last one, and he mentions a number of benefits with regards to this. And he says, hafidhuhullah, al-alamatu as-sadisa ta'zimu as-salah wal-ma'rifatu bi-qadriha wal-idraku لمكانتها ورعاية لها والأنس بمجيئها والدخول وقتها وحسن إقبال على الله سبحانه وتعالى فيها. The sixth sign of the sound heart is that the person, he will honor and venerate the prayer. He will honor and respect and hold in high regards. He will honor and respect the salah and hold it in high regards. And he will have great understanding and knowledge and comprehension of its status and level and rank, and the status of salat and the deen, and the status of salat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also he will find comfort, and he will find comfort and ease at the coming of the time for the salat, at the coming of the prayer, and the entrance of the time for the prayer. And he will devote himself in a good manner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he's engaged in the salat, obligatory and non-obligatory. So he says, وَإِذَا دَخَلَ فِي الصَّلَاتِ وَإِذَا دَخَلَ فِي الصَّلَاتِ. The waw here is extra. There's an extra waw here. وَإِذَا دَخَلَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَجَدَ فِيهَا رَاحَتَهُ وَنَعِيمَهُ وَقُرَّةَ عَيْنِهِ وَسُرُورَ قَلْبِهِ. And so whenever he enters into the prayer, he will find his ease and joy and the delight of his eyes and the happiness of his heart. The happiness of his heart. وفي الحديث, and it's come in the narrations, يَقُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet, he mentioned, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ يَا بِلَالِ. O Bilal, bring us ease with the prayer. Bring us ease and relaxation with the prayer. أَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ يَا بِلَالِ. يعني bring us ease and comfort and peace with the prayer, relaxation with the prayer, meaning make the adhan. Meaning make the adhan so we can prepare for the salat. So we can prepare for the salat. And this is what he's ordering him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he's using these terms. He didn't say, ya Bilal, adhin. Adhin lis salat. Give the adhan for salat. What did he say? Arihna bis salat. Arihna bis salat. And he bring us peace and relaxation with the prayer. And he make the call for prayer so we can establish the salat. Or make the akama so we can establish the salat. Wa yakulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ju'ilat qurratu ayni fi salat. And the delight of my eye has been made in the salat. Fayadkhulu fiha biqalbin munibin khadi'in khashi'in lahu subhana. So he will enter into the prayer with a repentant, humble heart that is in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَمِيعُ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا وَشَوَاغِلِهَا وَهُمُومِهَا وَغُمُومِهَا كُلُّهَا تَنْزَاحُ عَنْهُ مُقْبِلًا عَلَى صَلَاتِهِ وَعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ وَمَوْلَاهُ مُطْمَئِنًّا خَاشِعًا. So at this time, all of the worldly affairs and all of the distractions and concerns and worries, all of them, they go away. All of them, they go away. And now he is in devotion. He's in devotion in his prayer and worship of his Lord and Master, and great tranquility and humbleness. And great tranquility and humbleness. Because these affairs, they don't come together in the heart. Worry and stress and grief and anxiety and happiness and joy and peace and relaxation, these are opposites. If one is in the heart and on the mind, the others go away. The others go away. If a person is happy and relaxed and peaceful and tranquil, then he's not worried, nor is he stressed, nor is he grieving, nor is he anxious, nor is he anxious. But if he becomes anxious or starts to worry or stress, then that happiness and relaxation goes away. That peace of mind and ease, it goes away, it goes away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would find the way out from the difficulties and challenges of this life, from the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal, by devoting oneself to Allah Azza wa Jal in the prayer, inwardly and outwardly, inwardly and outwardly. And he would find peace there. He would find happiness there. He would forget the dunya in this manner. He would forget the worldly life in this manner. And this is something that we must take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example. And for this reason, it's a great problem likewise for a heart that is sound to be reminded of the dunya. Whenever a person, he is in the salat, striving to take the Prophet as a role model, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are alarms going off, and there are reminders going off about this appointment, and that appointment, and this person calling, and that person calling, so on and so forth, ringtones left and right, during the very prayer, reminding us of the dunya whenever we enter the prayer, hoping to forget about the dunya. Hoping to forget about the dunya. This is a great problem. This is a great problem that a believer, he must remember and take care of, not to disturb himself and others in the prayer with these phones and the likes of them. And the likes of them. Because in the prayer, we're trying to forget about the phones and the dunya and the connection with the people and the relationship with mankind. And we're trying to remember the Creator and devote ourselves to Him. And it's very difficult sometimes in the first place to fight one's own soul. So how about if a person is fighting his own soul and then likewise he's fighting the phones and ringtones of his brothers as well. Of his brothers as well. It becomes very difficult. It becomes very difficult. So this is something the believers, they need to recognize. The prayer is meant to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla and to work for the hereafter and to have peace and forget this worldly life and the concerns of this worldly life and the problems and the stress that come along with the dunya. So he says, Hafidhullah, وَفَرْقٌ بَيْنَ مَنْ يُصَلِّي وَهُوَ يُوَافِي فِي صَلَاتِهِ الرَّاحَةَ وَسُرُورَ الْقَلْبِ وَقُرَّةَ الْعَيْنِ وَنَعِيمَ الْبَالِ وَبَيْنَ مَنْ يُصَلِّي وَهُوَ قَلِقٌ وَمُتَضَجِّرٌ وَيُرِيدُ الرَّاحَةَ وَالْخَلَاصَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ. And there's a difference between the person who prays the prayer while he is in the prayer and obtaining this relaxation and happiness in his heart and delight in his eye, and he's finding peace of mind and the like and ease, between the one who, whenever he's praying, he is stressful and he's anxious and he's bothersome and he is waiting to find relaxation and ease and finish with the prayer. Any one person, he finds ease in the prayer, and the other one, he can't wait to finish the prayer to find ease. I need to be over with the prayer. I need to make it easy to get out of the prayer. So he says, وَلِهَذَا الْأَوَّلُ يَشْتَدُّ عَلَيْهِ الْخُرُوجُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ إِذَا انْتَهَتِ الصَّلَاةُ اشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْأَمْرُ لِأَنَّهُ خَرَجَ مِنْ لَذَّةٍ وَقُرَّةِ عَيْنٍ وَرَاحَةِ بَالٍ فَيَشْتَدُّ عَلَيْهِ الْخُرُوجُ مِنْهَا وَيَتَمَنَّى أَنَّ لَوْ طَالَتْ أَيْضًا بِخِلَافِ الْآخَرِ إِذَا انْتَهَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَرِحَ بِالْخُرُوجِ مِنْهَا وَالْخَلَاصِ مِنْ هَذَا الْحِمْلِ الثَّقِيلِ الَّذِي عَلَى كَاهِلِهِ. For this reason, you'll find that the first one is difficult for him to come out of the prayer. He needs to leave the prayer. Whenever the prayer is over, it's hard for him, because he's leaving from the joy and the delight of his eye, and from that which brings ease to his mind. And it's difficult for him to leave, and he's wishing that the prayer would even be longer. And this is contrary to the other individual, and whenever the prayer is finished for him, he's rejoicing about leaving the prayer and being finished with that great heavy burden that is on his shoulders. So this is a great affair, the affair of the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-salat amud." Al-Islam wa amuduhu as-salah. The amud, yani the main pillar that's holding up the tent. This is called the amud. If you have a tent and you set it up, the one that's in the middle, this is the amud. This is what is intended. If that one falls, the whole tent falls. The whole structure falls. So this is the status of the salah in al-Islam. It's a great, high and lofty status. Very pleasing to Allah. The greatest pillar. The greatest pillar from the pillars of al-Islam after the shahadatain. After the shahadatain. The Shaykh, he mentions a good point now. Hafidhullah, and he says, وَتَبْقَى الصَّلَاةُ مِيزَانًا يَوْمِيًا يَزِنُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ نَفْسَهُ وَإِذَا حَضَرَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ ظَهَرَ لِلْعَبْدِ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ حَالُ قَلْبِهِ. And the prayer, the salah, it remains as a daily scale that a person, he can weigh himself up with. A daily scale that a person, he can weigh himself up with, and whenever the time for the prayer comes, then it will be apparent for the person what condition his heart is in. It will be apparent and known for the person what condition his heart is in. Yani how concerned is he with the prayer and the coming of the prayer and the time entering for the prayer? How does he treat this affair? Does he stand up energetic and ready to perform it in the proper time, in the best manner, in the proper places, whenever possible, and the likes like this? Or is it heavy? And is he negligent? And does he keep delaying whenever there's no need? Like the hypocrites. إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالَى. إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالَى. Whenever they stand up for the prayer, they stand up lazily. But whenever they stand up for some worldly affair in the dunya, like a piece of meat or some free food and the likes like this, or even to go out and purchase their own food, they'll stand up readily with great energy and happiness. They're ready to go out for the dunya. But for the prayer, it's heavy for them. So this is a scale he's saying here for a person himself to take himself to account and weigh his own soul up with regards to, and to check into the affair of his own heart by analyzing his situation with regards to the salah. No doubt, first and foremost, the five daily prayers that are obligatory. His father, the author's father, Hafidhahum Allah Ta'ala, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he would mention the same benefit, but he would not mention it with regards to taking a person to account, but rather to identify one's companions. He would say that the prayer is a mizanun yawmi, litamyiz al-ashab, to distinguish the companions. That with regards to the zakat, or with regards to the sawm or the hajj, you know, these things are not, you're not able to determine who you're working with regards to them, because these things only are obligatory upon some people sometimes, upon some people sometimes. As for the salah, it's an obligation daily. If you want to find out about your companion, is he a good companion? Is he upon a good path, a good way? Then you accompany him for 24 hours. In 24 hours, you can find out who he is by observing his concern and care for the salah. Whenever the salah comes, is he concerned with that? Is he taking care of that? Is he establishing that property, or is he negligent with regards to that? So the salah is a means to weigh oneself up, first and foremost, and likewise to weigh up his companions, to see if they are upon a good way or not. And this can happen in a day. A person, he can realize these affairs. So now he mentions, hafidhullah, some benefits from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, about these affairs. He says, Qari Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, may Allah have mercy on him. وَالْمَقْسُودُ أَنَّ مَا تَقَرَّ بِهِ الْعَيْنُ أَعْلَى مِنْ مُجَرَّدِ مَا يُحِبُّهُ فَالصَّلَاةُ قُرَّةُ عُيُونِ الْمُحِبِّينَ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. So what is intended now is that that which the eyes find delight in is higher than just mere loving something. It's higher than just mere loving something. And it's a level higher in love. So a person, he will love something, and other things he will find delight in. The delight of his eye, the ease of his mind, the joy of his heart. So maybe he loves this or he loves that, or he loves this one or he loves that one, but this one here is the delight of his eye. The contentment in his heart, the joy in his life, alhamdulillah. So there's a difference between the two. This is what he's clarifying. So فَالصَّلَاةُ قُرَّةُ عُيُونِ الْمُحِبِّينَ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. So the salat is the delight of the eyes of the muhibbin. And the muhibbin, those people who truly love Allah, meaning the sincere believers in this worldly life. The sincere believers, meaning that the prayer is the delight of the eye of the sincere and true believers in this worldly life. لِمَا فِيهَا مِنْ مُنَاجَاتِ مَنْ لَا تَقَرُّ الْعُيُونُ وَلَا تَطْمَئِنُ الْقُلُوبُ وَلَا تَسْكُنُ النُّفُوسُ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Because of what the prayer consists of the private counsel. The private counsel of the one whom the eyes find no delight, and the hearts can never be tranquil, nor do the souls ever find contentment and ease except with him. وَتَنَعُمْ بِذِكْرِهِ وَتَذَلُّلْ وَالْقُضُوعِ لَهُ وَالْقُرْبَ مِنْهُ. And that he's the one who the hearts find delight and happiness at his remembrance, and they humble and submit themselves, drawing near to him. وَرَسِيَمَا فِي حَالِ السُّجُودِ, especially in the state of prostration. وَتِلْكَ الْحَالُ أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُنُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فِيهَا. And in this state, referring to the prostration, the sujood, this is the nearest that a person he will be to his Lord. وَمِنْ هَذَا قَوْلَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ يَا بِلَالِ أَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. And from this, here is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Bilal, bring us ease with the prayer. فَأَعْلَمَ بِذَلِكَ أَنَّ رَحَتَهُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. So he informed at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's informing at this time that his ease and relaxation is in the prayer. كَمَا أَخْبَرَ أَنَّ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِهِ فِيهَا. Just as he has informed as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the delight of his eyes in it as well. فَأَيْنَ هَذَا مِنْ قَوْلِ الْقَائِلِ نُصَلِّي وَنَسْتَرِيحُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. So where is this from the statement of the one who says, let's pray and relax and get rid of the prayer. Let's pray and relax from the prayer. And he hurry up and pray so we can relax. And he get the prayer over so we can relax. There's a great difference between somebody who established the prayer so we can relax. He finds his relaxation and the establishment of the prayer while he's engaged in the prayer. During the prayer, this is the time of peace and relaxation for him. As for some of them contrary, then they will say, hurry up and pray so we can find peace and relaxation. So he says, فَالْمُحِبُّ رَحَتُهُ وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنِهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. So the one who is a true lover, the one who truly loves Allah, meaning a sincere believer, his ease and relaxation and the delight of his eye is in the prayer. وَالْغَافِلُ الْمُعِضُ لَيْسَ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. And the one who is heedless and turning away, he has no portion of this. He has no share of this. بَلِ الصَّلَاةُ كَبِيرَةٌ شَاقَةٌ عَلَيْهِ. Rather, the prayer is great and it's heavy and difficult for him. إِذَا قَامَ فِيهَا كَأَنُّهُ عَلَى الْجَمْرِ. إذا قام فيها كأنه على الجمر حتى يتخلص منها وأحب الصلاة إليه أعجلها وأسرعها. And this person here, whenever he stands up for the prayer, it's like he's standing on a coal. And he's standing on a coal until he can get finished with it. And the most beloved prayer to him is the most hastened and quickest. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ فِيهَا وَلَا لِقَلْبِهِ رَاحَةٌ بِهَا. So this person here, he does not find the delight of the eye in the prayer, nor does his heart find any relaxation. And the reason for this is going back to the very first point that we touched on. That was? The remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. They barely remember Allah. Had they remembered Allah properly during the prayer, then it would not be heavy for them. So the first one, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's engaged in the prayer and the dhikr of Allah in the prayer, in the manners that we touched on and discussed, any of those different manners and ways or aspects of establishing the dhikr. So they remember Allah in a great manner, and therefore the prayer becomes beloved to them. As for the one who's performing it without the remembrance of Allah, or he only remembers Allah a little during the prayer, then this is why it's heavy for him. And this is the wisdom from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising that person, asking about something that will make it easy for him to perform the obligations. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا يزال لسانك رطبا لذكر الله, that your tongue should always remain moist with the remembrance of Allah. This will make the prayer light and delightful and beneficial and easy. And likewise, the rest of the sacred rites of Al-Islam, complying to the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions, become light and easy and delightful upon the remembrance of Allah, and for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, hoping for the acceptance from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. In this manner, the heart comes alive and the actions are beneficial. So this person here, the prayer is not the delight of his eye, and nor the happiness of his heart. And the most beloved prayer for him is the one that is fastest, that he can get over with the quickest, and the likes like this. This is because he only remembers Allah a little bit. This is what Allah, he mentioned about the hypocrites. إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Whenever they stand for the prayer, they stand lazily, and they show off, hoping to be seen from the people, and they only remember Allah a little bit. So these are lowly traits that a believer, he should strive to be free from and distance from and to be safe from. So he says, وَالْعَبْدُ إِذَا قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ بِشَيْءٍ وَاسْتَرَاحَ قَلْبُهُ بِهِ فَأَشَقُّ مَا عَلَيْهِ مُفَارَقَتُهُ. If a person, his eyes become delighted with something, and his heart finds great ease and relaxation in that thing, it's difficult for him to leave it. وَالْمُتَكَلِّفُ الْفَارِغُ الْقَلْبِ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالدَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ الْمُبْتَلَى بِمَحَبَّةِ الدُّنْيَا أَشَقُّ مَا عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَكْرَهُ مَا إِلَيْهِ طُولُهَا مَا تَفَرُّغِهِ وَصِحَتِهِ وَعَدْمِ اشْتِغَالِهِ. And as for the one who is trying hard, overdoing it, and the one who has an empty heart, the one who his heart is empty from Allah and the hereafter, and the remembrance of Allah and the home and the hereafter, and he's tried with the love of this worldly life, the hardest thing for him is the prayer. And the most detestful thing for him, likewise, is that it will be lengthened. And all of this, along with the fact that he is freed up, he has free time, and he's healthy, and he has nothing to preoccupy him. And he maybe he'll feel like the imam led the prayer too long, and he is bothersome in the prayer, and it's heavy for him, and he can't wait to finish. And then whenever he's finished, he's very healthy, and he's very strong, and it's not a problem for him physically. And then even he's freed up in his time. You'll find him go outside, walk out the doors, and stand there and talk for hours. So standing was not the problem. It's very easy for him to stand. Rather, you can stand and talk about the dunya for hours, right outside the same doors of the masjid where the prayer was established, that he was complaining to himself about how long it was. But compared to how long he stood out in front of those doors talking about the dunya, it's nothing. But as they say, time flies when you're having fun. Time flies when you're having fun. You know that one? Time flies when you're having fun. If you're doing something that you like and you enjoy, time flies, it's like it's nothing. It's like it's nothing. It's like it's nothing. So some people, they can stand and talk about the dunya for hours and time will go by like it's nothing. But whenever they have to do some of these rights and obligations, now it's not fun for them. It's not fun. So therefore it becomes very heavy and very difficult. Very heavy and very difficult. So he says, وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمَ أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ أَلَتِي تَخَرُّ بِهَا الْعَيْنُ وَيَسْتَرِيحُ بِهَا الْقَلْبُ هِيَ الَّتِي تَجْمَعُ سِتَّةَ مَشَاهِدٍ. And that which must be known, or that which is incumbent to know, is that the prayer, the one that the eyes find delight with, and the hearts find rest and relaxation with regards to, is the prayer that gathers six mashahid. Six mashahid. Mashahid is the plural of mashhad, meaning that these are six affairs of the heart that the heart must reach and witness and be alive and aware of with regards to, and be alive and aware of with regards to. This portion here is from the work of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is titled Risalatu Ibn Qayyim li Ahadi Ikhwanihi, the letter of Ibn Qayyim to one of his brothers. We studied this treatise, alhamdulillah, a few Ramadans ago, and this is in that particular work, and this transmission is from there, but Sheikh Abdul Razak hafizahullah, he has summarized it. So this portion here is very, very important with regards to the prayer specifically. So he's saying here that it must be known, or that it's incumbent to know, that the prayer that will bring the delight of the eye and bring contentment and ease and happiness and relaxation to the heart is a prayer that gathers six affairs. A prayer that gathers six affairs. If we begin reading them now, we don't have time. Right now is the Iqamah, the Adhan, huh? The first one, we just mentioned them without the discussion. Without the discussion of Ibn Qayyim, we mentioned them briefly. We number them. Number one, Al-Ikhlas. Number two, As-Sidqu wa-Nusuh. Number three, Al-Mutaba'atu wa-Iqtida. Number four, Al-Ihsan. Number five, Al-Minnah. And number six, Al-Taqsir. Al-Taqsir. So the one who gathers these six affairs during the prayer, then that prayer will be the delight of his eye and the means of peace and relaxation and ease and comfort in his heart. The first one, Al-Ikhlas, that it must be sincerely and purely, wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah alone. Number two, As-Sidqu wa-Nus. It must be a person, he must be honest and truthful in the performance of that prayer and have integrity in fulfilling that right. And the third one is Al-Mutaba'a wa-Iqtida. He must follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take him as a role model absolutely in the prayer from the beginning to the end. And the fourth one, Al-Ihsan. A person, he must have Al-Ihsan, meaning mastering the worship in the manner as if he is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning by way of knowledge. And we have discussed this in our previous classes. And if he's not able to do that, then he will fear Allah, knowing that Allah can see him. Knowing that Allah can see him, and he will master and perfect the worship inwardly and outwardly in this manner. And the fifth one, Al-Minnah. Al-Minnah, meaning that a person will realize that the fact that he's engaged in the prayer, this is a bounty and great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. And the sixth one, At-Taqsir, that a person, he will along with that realize his own shortcomings in fulfilling the rights of Allah during the prayer in the manner prescribed, and he will blame himself and find that his worship is not suitable, hoping that it will be accepted in any case, striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he touches on these issues in great detail in that work, and the author, he summarized each point. Hafidhahullahu ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned these six points in another work, in his work, Ighathatu Al-Hafan, but he mentioned them in a more general sense. Here in this portion here, it's mentioned these are the points that must be gathered for the prayer to be the delight of a person's eye and be the relaxation and happiness and joy of his heart. But in the work Ighathatu Al-Ahfan, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala that these six points, they're the right of obedience. They're the right of obedience. So for every action of obedience to be performed properly and for the right of Allah to be established in that, he must bring these 6 points. He must bring these 6 points. So he mentioned in this work, rahimahullah, he says, وَحَقُّ اللَّهِ فِي الطَّاعَةِ بِمُرَاعَاتِ سِتَّةِ أُمُورٍ. So the right of Allah in actions of obedience is by observing 6 affairs. وَهِيَ, and they are, number one, al-ikhlasu fi al-amal, that one, he must be sincere in the action. Number two, wal-nasihatu lillahi fihi, that a person, he must be truthful and honest with Allah in doing that. Number three, wa-mutaba'atu al-rasuli fihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the third, following the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that action. Number four, wa-shuhudu mashhad al-ihsani fihi, and that a person, he will witness with his heart the status of al-ihsan while performing it. Number five, وَشُهُود مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِيهِ, that he will witness likewise the great blessing and favor that Allah had bestowed upon him by allowing him to establish this action of obedience. And number six, وَشُهُودُ تَقْصِيرِهِ فِيهِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ, and that is that he will witness and realize his own shortcomings and deficiency in performing that action of obedience after all of this. After all of this, so he says, "Rahimahullah." فَيُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَهُ هَلْ وَفَى هَذِهِ الْمُقَامَاتِ حَقَّهَا وَهَلْ أَتَى بِهَا فِي هَذِهِ الطَّاعَةِ وَهَلْ أَتَى بِهَا فِي هَذِهِ الطَّاعَةِ. So, a person, he will take himself to account with regards to this, and he will ask himself, "Did he fulfill the rights of these levels in worship in that action of obedience, and did he bring them properly in performing it or not?" So one, he must be sincere, but along with that, he must be focused. And we touched on this previously. There's a difference between sincerity and truthfulness or honesty. Truthfulness and honesty. There's a difference between tawheed al-matlub or tawheed al-talab or tawheed al-murad or tawheed al-irada. There's a difference between the two. So they both must be present. The person, he must be sincere, and also he must be honest in performing that action and perform it properly and focus while engaged in that deed. Not being engaged in that deed while he's also concerned and thinking and worried about other things at the same time. This one, he's not performing it truthfully. He's not performing it honestly. He's not performing it in the proper manner. And then along with that, he must follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he must strive to perform it to the best of his ability. Inwardly and outwardly. By remembering Allah the entire time. And remembering his favors and bounties and blessings. And remembering his majesty and command and authority. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, along with that, remembering that the fact that he is a believer in the first place. And he is performing actions of worship is the grace and the blessing of Allah upon him, that Allah had favored him and bestowed upon him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he'll realize himself as well the shortcomings that he has while performing those actions of worship and the deficiency in his own soul that he has in establishing the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one, he will take himself to account with regards to these 6 points. Here the author summarized some of the benefits from the treatise, from the letter of Ibn Qayyim to one of his brothers, rahimahullah, and we discussed them, inshallah, these points here in the next class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And as for now, we can take any questions or comments or corrections while we're waiting for the iqamah. What are the 6 points for establishing the rights of obedience? Number one.
Al-Ikhlas.
Number two.
I don't know how to say that, Aaron, but a person must be truthful. Integrity.
Ahsant. In performing the action. We discussed this in our previous class, right? We made an example. Of somebody working while he's thinking about his family, or what he's going to do later. What type of job he would do whenever he's working in this manner, right? How would he do the job if he's daydreaming while he's cleaning up and the likes like this? It would not be performed to the best of his ability. The same idea or concept with regards to worship. Maybe he's doing the worship, but he's not doing it properly because he's distracted. Number three. Mutaba'ah, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number four. Al-Ihsan. Al-Ihsan. We discussed something about this in our previous classes too, alhamdulillah. Number five. Al-Minna. Ahsan. Mishadda. Al-Minna. What's that mean? The prayer, all of the actions of worship, in a general sense, realizing that the person is a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in His favor that He bestowed upon a person, allowing him to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, allowing him to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, allowing him to establish the rights about Islam. It's a blessing of Allah, not the blessing or favor of a person. Number six, and taqsir, that one he will realize his own shortcomings with regards to that. This will save him from becoming amazed with his own deeds. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.